The passage I want to preach from as I start my timer is John 7, 37 to 39. It says this: "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now he said that about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." And so I want to look at this passage and talk about what I think the implications are for us as a congregation. But before we talk about the passage in the specifics, I want to talk about the context. It's good to know what was happening at the time. Why did Jesus stand up at this time and say these words? Where it was just a random thing that came into his mind. Oh, I'm just going to talk about living water today. No, it was very specific and very well-timed and very appropriate to the context. And so the first line of the scripture says it was the last day of the feast. Now, it was the Feast of Booths, and that was a feast where Israel remembered the exile from Egypt into Canaan. And so they built these structures that they lived in, these kind of wooden and cloth structures to commemorate being led out of exile. Okay. And so they would all come together, they'd meet together, and part of this ceremony, part of this festival, this Feast of Booths, was a water ceremony. Okay, are we kind of joining the dots now, that Jesus is talking about thirsting, and this is part of the ceremony is a water ceremony. And so what would happen is the priests would draw water from the pool of Siloam and pour it on the altar, symbolizing God's provision of rain for the year that was and for the year to come, and his Spirit, right? It's signifying rain, thankfulness for the harvest, but also signifying the Spirit. And so on the last and greatest day of this feast, while they are about to pour this water, Jesus stands up and says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And so he's claiming to be the fulfillment of this water ceremony. And he's claiming to be the promise, the fulfillment, the promise of the Holy Spirit that is the true source of life that is to come. And so these words would not have been lost on the audience. In fact, the Pharisees were standing right there. If you go further back in John 7, you see the Pharisees were there. They were kind of always around, waiting for Jesus to say something or do something so they could pick up on it and kind of go, "Well, you've done this wrong. You've done this wrong." And so they're there. They're watching him. And so immediately their minds would have gone back to Isaiah 55, which is interesting because Isaiah 55 has been the passage I've been focusing on in my quiet time. So in my Old Testament readings, Isaiah is what I'm going through at the moment. And I read this the other day. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And so immediately the Pharisees are going, "What is he saying? Only God can fulfill this thirst inside of us." That's exactly what he was saying. And so he appeals to everyone who's standing in front of him, the Pharisees and the whole crowd. And he says, "If you are willing to receive my message, you will receive relief." And throughout Scripture, the call of God to those who are thirsty is to come and drink and be satisfied. And unfortunately, in this passage, what happens is reject the call and you reject Christ. The call is always there. Come, everyone is thirsty, come and drink. We know the Pharisees rejected the call. See, the truth is that only Christ can satisfy our deepest longings. Our deepest thirst, the deepest side of us, which is craving for something, only that can be satisfied by Christ. And how often do we look for other things in the world to satisfy it? You can read countless books on counseling and self-help and going, "You need this," or "You need that," "You need that." But there's that one thing, there's that thirst which cannot be satisfied. Nothing can satisfy it except Christ. Not drugs, not sex, not music, not other religions, not false religions, nothing, nothing, nothing. And the world is desperate to try and satisfy it. So you could be here for the first time and you hear me speaking, you identified and going, yes, that is me. There's something missing inside of me. I am spiritually dry. And my friend, the only solution, the only remedy to that dehydration is the fountain of living water. Two years ago, we were in Italy. I'm always reminded of that was 2 years ago. Yeah, it feels like it's a lifetime ago. It's hectic. I still think about it all the time. Anyway, especially when it's winter, I'm like, we were in Italy 2 years ago and it was so warm and beautiful. But anyway, when you're in Italy, it's this amazing thing. You're walking around and it's literally 40 degrees, which is a different 40 degrees to our 40 degrees, but it's still hot. Like, I remember walking around and just being like, this is way too hot, man. And so you're constantly feeling like you need to drink. You're constantly feeling dehydrated. And the amazing thing about Italy is this. If you carry a bottle of water with you, you will get free water wherever you go. What do I mean by that? What do you mean free water? Like, as South Africans, we're already like, what do you mean free? Nothing for Mahala. Okay. Imagine for a moment imagine being in a hot, dusty, overcrowded city like Rome, which we were, and in front of you is a tap that never stops running with the freshest, cleanest water you can imagine. It never stops running. And so you put your bottle underneath it. You're literally standing in a city, and you see a fountain. You put your bottle there, and the water comes out, and you drink it, and nothing happens to you. It's like, yes, this is amazing. And as South Africans, you're going, I need to turn this tap off because, like, day zero. In Italy, no one cares. It's like just water is just everywhere. And it's this beautiful picture of the gospel. Living water for the thirsty, which does not stop flowing and is freely given. And being a hot tourist in Italy, those fountains were like life for us. And you stand with 10 other tourists in a line, but eventually you get there. And it's like, yes. Sparkling water, beautiful water. Not sparkling, still. I don't want to create expectations. I'm going to Italy and get free sparkling water. Yeah. But I want you to think about that because that is a picture of this river of life which is available to anyone who would receive it. Anyone who is thirsty, come and drink. Come and drink. And the incredible thing is for those of us who have already received Christ, the amazing thing is that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. And so we have a fountain of living water continuously flowing inside of us, which is continuously accessible at any point. Do you know that? I mean, just think about it. Just think about it. Living water is accessible through the Spirit of Christ inside of you. At every single moment. And it will, like those taps in Italy, never stop running. Never. Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him you call him Father. We have received the Spirit inside of us, and we know that we are sons and daughters of God. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. And so simply, if we believe, we will receive. We will receive the gift of the precious Holy Spirit. I'm very excited about this. Excellent. Shelley, I love it. I love the enthusiasm. I think sometimes we know these things, we just forget. Like, we have this river inside of us. John makes this connection in John 7:39. Now this he said about the Spirit. He's talking about the living water and the Spirit. Whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And I love this, but sometimes I think we stop there and go, I've been saved. Yes. I've got the Spirit. Yes. I'm a son and daughter. Yes. All those are incredible and they're all true. But the passage doesn't end there. The passage continues. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now it gets a little bit like, what's going on here? Do we walk around with like literal rivers like flowing out of us? I don't know. It's like, obviously not, it's spiritual. It's a metaphor, but this is the part I've been thinking about all week. And I think many, myself included, have just been happy with having the Spirit inside of us. We've forgotten that the Spirit not only comes in to change us and transform us, but also to affect those around us. You know that the Spirit inside of you is there to change you, but also to transform those around you. One commentator says this: the believer shall receive spiritual blessings or communications of divine grace in so great an abundance, in so great an abundance that he shall not only be refreshed and comfort himself, but shall be an instrumental in refreshing and comforting others. In so great abundance, the Spirit of God is inside of us. That we are not only refreshed, but we become a point of refreshing for others. Or do we? See, when I was thinking about this passage in Jeffreys Bay, just thinking, and that word will just kept sticking out to me. Will. Out of his heart will flow. Not might, not maybe. Out of his heart will flow. And that word will, it's the verb, it says ongoing, unstuttering, not a trickle. The word flow in that, the original word, actually talks about overflow. It's not just flowing. It's a river in full flood in the Greek. It's one thing to have the Spirit inside of you. It is. It's incredible. But it's another thing to have it in such a measure that it flows out of you and affects those around you. I'm doing a lot of new things today. So I'm showing a video, which is quite like interactive. And then I've actually, you might see this, I'm going to get to that now. But I want to show you this video quickly. It's by a guy called Jamie O'Brien. What's his name? Jamie O'Brien, okay. He's a surfer. Let's just watch it quickly and I'll explain it. I mean, that looks like fun, right? Yeah, that looks okay. Oh, Margaret, come on. There we go. Now the lifeguard's warning them. There's always someone who spoils the party, yeah. I mean, the things people do for fun, eh? I mean, that's getting out of control. Anyway, I think that's sure. You get the picture, right? Look at that. That's such a good shot. Yo, it's powerful. Oh, come in the way. All right. So you can watch that video online. That's only halfway. It actually gets bigger. I mean, it just gets insane where it just gets like this mess. And the title of the video is Pro Surfer Almost Drowns. Okay, so it gets it gets a little bit out of control, which is, you know. But I love this video because I think it illustrates perfectly what the scripture is talking about. I think there's something about, you know, if you see that river and it's kind of stuck. And it takes a little bit of digging, not much. They didn't dig a lot. They kind of dug a little stream, and the water kind of goes the rest of the way. And it starts as a small flow and a small flow, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's completely, really chaotic and out of control. And I think that's the picture I wanted to show of, like, these rivers that can flow out of you, which are incredible. And not only do they flow out of you, but people get to enjoy them and benefit from them. I love the fact that guys are surfing it. They're not just watching this river going like, okay, that's really cool. Like, they're getting bodyboards and, like, I can imagine Dave is like all over that. He's like, Musenberg River, here we go. But it really is. It's an incredible picture of this flow of the Spirit of God that could be coming and should be coming out of each and every one of us. And I think if we just have to stir, we sang that song, Stir a Passion. I think if we stirred each other up to more. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. I think if we just stirred a little bit, we'd be amazed. We just remove a little bit of sand. It'd be incredible what could happen to all of us in all of our lives. These rivers that would flow out. Okay. So, this could be you. This could be all of us. That could be Margaret. Diving in head first. Surfing. It could be, and perhaps your life is overflowing, and that is incredible, that's amazing. But maybe it isn't, and I think the deeper we drink from Christ daily, the better chance we have of refreshing and comforting others. I think we have to be drinking from Christ to be so full that it gets to the point where we're overflowing. Now, that's not a perfect example, because actually in a perfect example, that river would be overflowing naturally. It'd just be flowing, and it'd be like the stream just going out of it, but it's stuck, and so they're stirring it up a little bit. And I think that could be a picture of us. But I think the problem is, and I was wondering this while I was away, I wonder if we, and I include myself in this, have become accustomed to managing our spiritual hydration just enough to not dehydrate, but not enough to overflow. I wonder if have become accustomed to managing our spiritual hydration just enough to not dehydrate, but not enough to overflow. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's a challenging verse. That is challenging. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I told you earlier, I went away this week and we were on holiday and on leave, I like to take it slow. Like, I do read a bit of scripture and I kind of pray. But when I got back on Friday, just the first thing I said to Heike when I woke on Friday morning is, I need to spend time with Jesus. I need to spend time with Jesus, like proper time. Not just like, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for good waves. It's awesome. Yes, you're so good to me. And that's good. Like, it's awesome. I was like, yeah, I wasn't surfing, but thank you for good waves for Rosie and like, thank you that I find good books, that kind of stuff. And for Sophie, I was a very proud father yesterday. I was surfing with Soph. She caught a bomb, and I was like, yeah, what a legend. This is the dad. You see your little girl stand up on a wave. I was like, yeah. Rosie, I've seen stand up on lots of waves. I'm proud of you too. And so when I was thinking about this, I was going like, what does this look like? How can this look different? Because often in this kind of sermon, you go, have a longer quiet time. Drink more. Drink deeper, and you're going like, flip, man, like, life is hectic. If I get 5 minutes in the morning, it's good. Let's be honest. Like, we're all going like, yo, I had like a half an hour quiet time this morning. Like, really? If you did, great. But I mean, it's a good question to ask. Who has a consistent half an hour quiet time every day? Yo, look at that. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. Like, I'm not trying to shame anyone, really. Okay. I've got a solution, so listen to me. I've got a solution. Right. So I don't think it's a case of doing more. I think it's a case of drinking more. It's a case of drinking more. And I had this really bad joke, which I think is a kind of in bad taste. I'm just going to say it. I think in some sense we need to develop a drinking problem. Now, in the generally, that's a bad thing. We don't want a drinking problem, but I think actually we need it. We need to be so like, I need to drink today. I need, like, pour it over yourself. Do you know what I mean? Instead of going like, maybe I should. And by the time the day starts, it's too late. You know what it's like? It's like, day started, okay. Jesus, I'll catch up with you later. And you never do. And so what is the difference? What is the difference between do more and drink more? And the difference is this. I think when you do more, you're carving out time. You're applying yourself. It's a task or a chore, right? I must do more. But I think drinking more in the day is more natural. If you go to the gym and you're drinking water, you don't stop for 5 minutes to drink your water. Maybe you do. I don't. I'm like drinking while I'm exercising and like, you know, analytical. I think it's more natural. And I think actually we can develop habits of drinking in the Lord and drinking in the Spirit daily as we go through our day. Not just going, well, I missed my quiet time. I guess I won't drink until tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and there's an emergency. I guess I won't drink until the next day. And then before you know it, 5 days have gone past. You're like, I'm so dry. I haven't drank from the fountain of life. I haven't got any living water inside of me. What do I do? And then you're trying to catch up, and then you feel bad, and then you feel condemned, and the devil's like on your face, like, you didn't have a quiet time for 5 days. And like, And then you're trying to drink like 5 gallons, and like, it's just not working. So, the average person needs an average of 8 cups of water every day. Men actually need 10. I don't know that, but anyway. So, as believers, I think we can learn from this. I think during the day, we can drink from the fountain of life and not just limit ourselves to one time in the morning as much as we should be. And I think that's good. I'm not saying don't have your quiet time. If you have a regular quiet time, please keep having it. But I think after that, I think you need to keep filling up all the whole way through the day. I remember speaking to Mac, who's in Stellenbosch. She's going, Dill, I can't only read scripture once in a day. I've got to go back to it all the time. I've got to keep refreshing myself all the time. I feel like that at the moment. I feel like, yes, I can't get through a day with one scripture reading on the day. I can't. I've got to listen to worship. I've got to pray. I've got to do something to refresh myself because you've just been bombarded with stuff all the time. It's just bad news, the world, everything's like bad. Except Jesus is good. And so I want more of Jesus. And so I wonder if my lovely assistant, Heike, could come up and I'll do a little demonstration. Give her a round of applause. This is my lovely wife. Look at it. So I want you to fill that glass of that cup with water. And so I think we need to be at 8 cups of water a day kind of people. Okay, so, first cup, wake up in the morning. Okay, how else can we drink during the day? Give me some ideas. Okay, I've just had my quiet time, I'm feeling good. It's going to last about an hour and then someone's going to put me in a bad mood. Okay, come on, I need more of Jesus. Pray at lunchtime. It's going to be powerful. I'm going to be up all night. I'm feeling good. What else can I do? Listen to worship. Excellent. Good idea, Dylan. You, powerful. It's my third drink of the day. Of Jesus. Of drinking from the river of life. Okay, I'm feeling good. I need more. Speaking in tongues. You guys are just enjoying watching me drink water now. Okay, another one. That's 4.
Audio Bible
when I'm driving. 5th glass. I'm so full of the Spirit now. It's amazing. Okay, more. Listening to the dying to live. Okay, Wayne paid you for that one. Okay. Okay, it's like 5 o'clock now. I'm like, yo, I'm feeling good. I'm still feeling refreshed. I'm still feeling like I'm winning at life. This is 6. I'm not finished yet, guys. I'm not finished yet. Give me more. Another quiet time. Another two quiet times in a day. Whoa, whoa, Vanessa, slow down, slow down. Yes, okay. Okay, last one. I'm going to pray for calm tonight. Then I'm going to pass out. Look at that.
Exactly.
Who knows, but seriously, who knows that I'm now hydrated? I'm not spiritually dry. Think about it. And it's taken me, well, it's taken me a bit of minutes, but actually, in the day, I could do this 8 times in a day, just touch points, just spending time with Jesus, putting some worship on, just listening to the audio Bible, just going outside a lunch break and praying. It all helps. Now I can overflow. Again, no, that's not what I meant. But who knows that now I'm full. I'm full to overflowing. Yeah, that was rough. Remember, never do that illustration ever again. Okay. But some days you will drink more than others, and some days you will, but it's vital that you are drinking daily. And the more we drink, the more chance we have of overflowing. The more chance we have of reaching other people, of affecting other people, of encouraging other people, of comforting other people, because we're so full of Him. Otherwise, you're just like, how's your day? Ah, it sucks, bro. How's your day? It sucks. Okay, cool. We both suck together. Okay, woo. And those days do happen. Okay, I get it. I mean, the Baptist, I went back to my last one, the Baptist and the Beloved were both overflowing with passion for God and passion for His people. We can be too. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. We have the same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Christ had not yet been glorified. But friends, Christ has been glorified. And so we have the Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. Are we overflowing? Are there rivers of living waters streaming out of us towards those around us?